97.5 The Fanatic.
Is there a movie that jumps to mind, Bob, when you think of New Year's Eve? Is there one movie that jumps to mind? There's one movie that jumps to my mind.
Really?
Yes. What's the movie that jumps to your mind when you think of New Year's Eve?
It's a Wonderful Life. I know it's a Christmas movie, but when everything does, they sing Auld Lang Syne at the end.
What's yours? When Harry Met Sally. Don't even.
No, I saw it.
I know. You're an American male. You better have seen that movie. It didn't do it for you?
Nah.
I'm amazed.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite all-time movies.
Is it really?
Okay,
I can see that because I think it's kind of a girl movie, but yeah.
It's not a girl movie.
I didn't love it. No.
That's astonishing.
I mean, the deli scene was great, all that.
I thought Billy Crystal was just hilarious in the movie in general.
Yeah, I don't like these mopey males. I don't like that.
But throughout the movie, he's not really mopey as much as he is depressed.
Okay. So I put it mildly. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't like depressed individuals.
No, but I think the movie's hilarious. One of my favorite all-time movies. And there's a great New Year's Eve. There's a couple great New Year's Eve scenes in that movie.
So they kiss on New Year's Eve, right? Or are they're not together on New Year's.
I don't want to ruin it for someone.
Only came out 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's 1989.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally. But no, I mean, Sinatra's got a great little ballad in it. He's got his version of It Had to Be You
right
towards the end of the movie,
right,
which is just wonderfully done, of course. But yeah, that's a movie I think. Jamie, New Year's Eve movie?
Not a ton come to mind, but
there's not a lot out there.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. You would think there'd be more, but I guess Harry Met Sally is the big one.
That's the one I go to.
He took one of the Mount Rushmores off the board. Nice work.
Way to go, Mark.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a 76ers game going on. That's happening tomorrow night right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But you know what? Before we go to our next guest, Devon Gibbons here, for his new New Year's sports resolution, I do want to tell you that we have food here provided today. My stomach was growling a little bit. I was like, wait a minute. We got Anna's Corner Store here, a real Philly deli carrying Dietz and Watson premium meats and artisan cheeses at the corner of North Wales and Township Line Roads in East Norton. I just enjoyed myself a nice hoagie back there.
I had one earlier.
Treated myself. They got a whole thing of pickles as well. They got the pickle sandwich.
I've never, ever, ever seen the pickle sandwich until about an hour ago.
I had not seen it in person.
So, have you heard of it?
Oh, I've heard of it.
Have you ever? Jamie's the food connoisseur here. Have you ever had it?
I have not had it.
All right. So it's we have to describe it.
Well, it's a pickle, a big old pickle, cut in half as if it's a bun with hoagie the fillings.
In the middle. Basically. So it acts as the bread.
Correct.
Yes.
I don't trust myself in a tuxedo that I'm renting.
Yeah.
To bite into that right now.
No.
I had other things from Anna's Corner Store, and it was delicious.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, and they also got cookies, and I'll have all those.
Yeah, I don't do sweets.
More for me. Yes. Let's get to our friend Devon Gibbons joining us right now. What's up, Devon?
Good morning. What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, Happy New Year,
buddy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Devon joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Oh, here's another great New Year's. Lieutenant Dan at Forrest Gump. Chris Curl sends us that, so we appreciate it. Devon, the wait will officially be ended tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers back in action. How excited are you?
Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait for them to get back out there on the floor, see a little Joel Embiid in their lineup as well with the other four starters. Play against the Indiana Pacers team that is very well coached, a tough squad that now has Victor Oladipo back, but it is also intriguing with Domantas Sabonis still out. So, or at least that's the last time I checked if he was still out. So Sixers should take care of business tomorrow in game number one. So yeah, I'm thrilled. Looking forward to it.
Where are you at in terms of who you want to see in the first round of the playoffs? Do you want to see Miami? Do you want to see the Pacers? Do you want to see the Celtics? Who do you want to see?
If you look at it, I mean, there are two different scenarios. Of course, if you go Miami, Milwaukee, get them out of the way in the second round and then take your chances against Toronto or Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, then you lean that way. But if you prefer to see Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals and go through Milwaukee and Toronto in round one, the semis, and then meet Milwaukee, then you go that route. Mark, I really don't have a preference at this point because, listen, they've beaten everybody. You're on this neutral floor. Go out there and just go hoop and let's see what happens. You're not good enough in either scenario to choose a team. You've lost to the Miami Heat. You've lost to the Toronto Raptors. You've lost to the Boston Celtics, although you took down the 3-1 series. But this is the playoffs, and Brad Stevens has shown to have the edge over Brett Brown in the playoffs. Their one series that they matched up in 2017-18, and I think they can beat any of these teams. But that's the whole thing about this team all season long is I think because 29-2 versus 10-24, right? We don't know why they are so different home and away. So I think they can win in either way, but I mean, they're just not good enough to choose an opponent at this point.
All right. I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I look at this, me personally, I'm like, I think it's a second round exit at best, but I'm optimistic enough to think, okay, if this thing happens in particular, this will propel them to be a much better team than I saw at the break. What would you need to see to be convinced that this team can get out of that second round?
The defense has to sustain throughout the entire time, and that will be led by Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And, of course, Matisse Thybulle comes in off the bench, Al Horford as well, Josh Richardson in the starting lineup, and provide some defensive effort that is going to be very strong. This is what they talked about. Smash mouth offense, bully ball defense, and a playoff team that is built the way that they are for this moment. So I think the defense, which we have seen thus far, has to stand out for them to propel them further in the playoffs than we have seen in the past. And the other thing that I would put number two, but I mean, you could probably put it 1A and 1B, is really Simmons and Embiid playing at all NBA and all-star level together in the postseason, which we have not seen that yet in the two playoff appearances that they've had in the past two seasons. So defense, Simmons and Embiid, as it always is for me, but offensively, those guys have to give it like they have during the regular season where we've seen them play well together.
Devon, how would you handle these eight games going into the playoffs? Because I've heard that some people think that Brett Brown might handle it as, you know, just keep guys healthy, build up minutes, look at some things, but then get to the playoffs and go. My feeling is I think you should amp it up now. You haven't had the starting five together. How do you feel they should handle these eight games leading into the playoffs?
I agree with you 100%. You have a few minutes from the first scrimmage, the practice sessions that they've had, and that's it. So you do now need to get those minutes in for the starting five. You do need to develop the rotation. And Brett, in this case, once again, they are not good enough, Bob, to choose an opponent and choose how they want to go in here. This is not a 3-seed Sixers team that we've seen the past 2 years. This is a 6-seed team that we expected a lot from, and they've disappointed on the road thus far. So I don't think they're good enough to make that decision. I think that for them going into the actual playoffs with this eight seeding games that they have, go in there with some momentum. And hopefully that momentum can carry them through some wins in the postseason like we saw in 2017-18, where they won those, 16 games in the regular season?
Right. And
the first one when they played the Miami Heat in game number one, 17 total. That's what you want to see. You want to have that momentum going into the first round of the playoffs, especially now that you are a 6-seed, and it is a guarantee that you are going to play a very good team in either Miami, Boston, or Indiana. Go out there and play to win. All of that stuff will play itself out, and I cannot stress enough, you're just not good enough to make a decision on how you want to go in there and act as if you're just going to walk on the floor and beat anyone.
Speaking with our own Devon Givens, now I know we'll talk to you throughout the NBA playoffs and the resumption of the eight-game seeding period and all that. But Devon, now before we let you go right here, what is your New Year's sports resolution?
So I'll keep it Eagles-centric on this one.
Ooh.
Because we look at them and we hope the NFL plays in general. But let's assume that they will play and they'll find a way to get it done. I have a thing about Derek Barnett that he annoys me because as a top pick to be the next future edge rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles, and all they've done in this case is go out and get Chris Long and bring back Vinnie Curry and give him the opportunity to really step up and elevate his game and be the man on the edge. And while he did give you 6.5 sacks last year, he does some things that hurries to get to the quarterback. But hurries are great. I get it. Sacks are better. Not getting stupid penalties now where you probably have developed a reputation isn't simply not been good enough, in my opinion. And they do not have enough on the edge outside of he and Brandon Graham for him not to step up and be a very good player for this football team along that defensive front that is now a monster in the middle. And as Barrett Brooks liked to say, you can even kick Malik Jackson out to the left side to help out with that rotation. I'm going to try my best with this New Year's resolution to lay off of Derek Barnett, allow him to come out and be the starter, and see what he does, see if he improves on his decision-making and not take these silly late hits. So my New Year's resolution is to give Derek Barnett more of a chance before I explode later on.
Devon, we appreciate you joining us. Once again, happy New Year. Happy 2022.0, my friend.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Devon Gibbons joining us right there. Our own Devon Gibbons. We're going to have an abridged take segment real quick. Give me like a couple of takes here there, Pat Egan. What do you got?
Hurry up, Pat. Go.
Hello. The Phillies will not play until Tuesday at the earliest when they head to Miami to get revenge on Miguel Rojas, MD, and the COVID boys. If that actually happens, then the Phillies will play 57 games in 56 days. Your thoughts? Quickly.
MLB's stupid.
Yep, it is. Okay, Lee is supposed to announce today that doubleheaders will be 7 innings, something most players are already used to, because to do that, they do it in the minors. Yeah. Your thoughts?
Don't care.
Yeah, me
baseball,
neither.
Do whatever you want.
Yes. Yeah, don't care. Kind of stupid. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Guess what? Hockey and
guys,
basketball.
No,
back.
We're moving.
Right,
LeSean McCoy agreed to a deal with the Bucks. Your thoughts?
They're old. Good move.
For him.
My only issue was the way Drew Rosenhaus said another Super Bowl, it was like easy on that.
Yeah, that was dumb. Yeah, but good move by DeSean and the Bucks.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. NBA restarted last night, and the NBA is doing this virtual fan thing, and let's just say it was thin in New Orleans. Also, Chris Bosh checked in during the Lakers game. Your thoughts?
I'm fine with it.
I love that.
Yeah, that's cool. I will say this real quick about Shady. One of my favorite things tweeted in response to that news breaking with Shady McCoy signing was that, you know, the Buccaneers are not going to get coronavirus because they all washed.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. What else you got?
I don't get it.
All right.
We're moving on. Doesn't matter. On this date in history, the Phillies officially became sellers in 2012, sending Shane Victorino to the Dodgers, Hunter Pence to the Giants. They haven't been contenders since. Your thoughts?
That hurt. It's been bad. It's been really bad, Pat.
Don't worry, though. They got Tommy Joseph in the deal.
Yes, they did.
And Seth Rosin.
He's still going to pan out.
He will. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll work.
In Korea. All right. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you very
much. Go put on a diaper.
When we come back, we count it down to the new year, 2022.0.
I love that kid.
Here on 97.5, The Fanatic. But ladies and gentlemen, you know what? As we've been talking about, sports finally back. I'm so excited. Basketball and hockey this weekend. And like you, I love all the hometown teams, which is why I bet with the hometown team, Parks Casino and Sportsbook, where I have the home field advantage. When it comes to sports betting, my guys, my team at Parks Casino Sportsbook, right in Bucks County. That means your action and your money are safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app. Right here, the easy-to-use sports betting app in Bucks County. Just a great one, I got to tell you that. Number one casino in all of Pennsylvania, by the way. Look, you don't have to leave your money or trust your money to some overseas faceless company. You don't got to do that. Just trust Parks Casino right in your backyard. Just go with my guys and my team at Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the hometown team. Sign up now and get a risk-free bet from up to $500. Yeah, $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's P-A-R-X casino.com/PA and use promo code FANATIC to get your risk-free bet up to $500. Their website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. You must be 21 or older and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Farzetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A Stanley Cup champion 3 times over, one hell of a defenseman. Ken Danico joins us right now from the NHL Network on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you this morning?
Great.
Doing great. You know, as a lifelong Flyers fan, Ken, it's an honor to speak to you. I always respected your game, man.
I appreciate that, and I tell everybody, they ask us, who is your biggest rivalry back in the heyday, and everybody thinks the Rangers because proximity, but from 98, and it was in the early 90s, from 95 to 2003 till the end of my career, it was always the Flyers. we had to get through, and somehow, some way, we had their number, and especially in 2000 when they had us down 3-1. But those series were so evenly matched. It was a battle. I loved it. That's what the playoffs were about, rivalries. We didn't like each other, and it was always the Flyers we had to somehow get through to go on to be fortunate enough to win those cups.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, I grew up in that era with, obviously, John LeClair and Eric Lindros, Eric Desjardins, defenseman like yourself. Like, those were my years, right? But and I suffered through those as a Flyers fan. Is there one game, in all the games, though, is there any real specific incident that really sticks out in your mind when you do think back to that rivalry?
Well, it's hard not to think about the when Eric Lindros came back and the big hit by Scott Stevens after he'd been injured and came back. Sometimes coming back too soon, and then the big bone crushing hit at center ice. And nowadays, yes, you can't make contact with the head, but it was applauded back then. Mm. But I cringed a little bit back then, even in that series. And you do anything and whatever it takes to win, but it was a shoulder right to the chin. Eric came through the neutral zone. And even as an opponent, you know, it made me cringe, like I said, a little bit. Yeah, I just didn't want to see anybody get rocked to that extent at the time, especially because of the history he had with concussions. And talked to Eric later on, played in the Hall of Fame game a couple of years ago in Toronto. And a real good guy and dominant forward and a guy that kind of changed the game as far as a power forward and everything. But unfortunately, that was a devastating hit for him. And his career wasn't long enough, but he was that good to be a Hall of Famer in the short time because he was that effective as a player and a unique player with his size and skill.
Speaking with Ken Danico, I don't want to spend too much time on the past, but I do got to ask you about, do you guys still give it to Patrick Elias for getting stoned by Brian Boucher on that remarkable save?
Well, Patrick scored a pretty good goal after that in 2000.
Nobody remembers.
But having said that, of course we always rib each other. I mean, hey, that's what it's all about, but Patrick Elias did some pretty good things for the Devils as well. And I will say, and I know we're going to move forward, but so I've been preaching on NHL Network, fellas, and even though the Flyers are my big rivalry, there's something about this Flyers team, which I am shocked from the start of the year because I didn't think they'd be this good, that I'm one of the guys, and I hate predictions, and I've kind of predicted them as my dark horse. I know they had a great regular season before the stoppage. To go to the Stanley Cup Finals, I think they're that good, and they finally get it, how you play as a team and structure under a coach, Lane Vigneault. This is a team that's going to be real dangerous, in my opinion. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on with you guys.
No, I mean, Ken, we had heard on NHL Network, which, by the way, extensive playoff coverage right there. You'll be a part of that. It includes the NHL tonight. It also includes 7 qualifying rounds of games, obviously, and then also beginning this Sunday, 8 p.m. with the Blue Jackets and the Maple Leafs. I know you've been singing the Flyers' praises. I didn't know you were that high on them. Now, you mentioned Lane Vigneault. It was like love at first press conference with Lane Vigneault here in Philadelphia. Because what we love in Philadelphia is accountability. We want players to be held accountable by the head coach of the hockey team or whatever team here in Philadelphia. What is it about Lane Vigneault and his style that just works so well wherever he goes?
Well, I love what you just said, accountability. I mean, you can't win without it as far as going all the way. The Flyers have had some good teams over the years, but a little too loosey-goosey, I'd like to say, when you have to tighten up, when you have to have structure. But that's what Lane Vigneault has implemented, is that structure throughout the lineup. They rely on four lines. In the past, if Giroux and Voracek didn't get the big goal, well, a lot of the time, they were not going to continue to advance. They'd have some, you know, decent playoff series. They'd make the playoffs and had some high-potent offense. But you've got to be able to play on the other side of the puck. Giroux, Voracek sacrificed some numbers. Everybody looks at offensive numbers. But now they're more complete players and leaders and get everybody else involved. You need four lines and six defensemen and good goaltending, which it looks like they finally have a nice tandem with the young Carter Hart, the young Phenom as well, if he can handle the pressure, which I believe he can. Now they're a balanced team, and that's the and Vigneault wants it out of everybody. It's not just relying on a few players and coming from teams that have won Stanley Cup championships. Your star players have to buy into what your coach is preaching, the system, and that means you might sacrifice a goal or two here. And that's what I'm seeing from the Flyers team. They play like a team. They play like a unit that relies on everybody. And I think that's what Vigneault's brought to this team right now this season.
Ken, to me, hockey players, more than any other sport, are guys that just put their heads down and play. You can put them in a rink anywhere, and they're going to play, and whether there's 20,000 people there or, like, the current situation, nobody there, I don't think it'll change much. Do you think that the best team will come out of this and win despite what they're going through, like playing in front of nobody? Do you think it has an effect?
I think it's a unique situation and an adjustment. I mean, players love to play in front of their fans, and we feel like every sport that we have the greatest fans in the world are diehard hockey fans in every city, whoever you root for, whatever fan base. Having said that, you're absolutely right. Hockey players, they're ready to go here. You miss 4 months of the season, and I use the example of being in lockouts when we won the Cup in 95 and played a 48-game schedule. It's about just getting it going again. We're hockey players. That's what we're bred to do. And they're dying to go at it. But you're going to have to – this is where coaches and their coaching staff are going to come into play here, as far as you need a lot of self-starters on your team, guys that have a little more inner drive and motivation, because you got to ramp it up quick. And certainly it's not going to be easy without fans, but the National Hockey League, in my opinion, has done nothing short of remarkable here. The job they have, the leadership have done, and the leadership to not only get this off the ground, but create that atmosphere for our great fans that are going to be watching on TV, from what I've seen so far in just the exhibition games. But the players, yes, they will be able to get ramped up, but it's still not quite the same for a player without our great fans in the stands. But they will be competing just as hard. Everybody's healthy, fired up, and ready to go. So I can't wait. I think this is as intriguing and interesting a playoff as we're ever going to see, and we'll be talking about them for a long time.
Speaking with Ken Danico here, Ken of the NHL Network, one of the things that made you guys so special, and maybe the biggest reason, was that guy, Marty Brodeur, the best goaltender I've certainly ever watched the entire career of. We're looking at Carter Hart, and I'm certainly not going to ask you for a comparison here, but what do you like about Carter Hart in net?
For me, goaltending and seeing a young Marty Brodeur, I've been 11 years in the league, and when he came in, and I see similarities in Hart in one area, and that's even keeled, balanced. Let in a bad goal or have a bad period. And the goaltender has to be your calmest guy on the ice as far as showing confidence to guys in front of him. It's the most important position. We know that. And it's consistency. So at a young age here, that's what you're seeing from Carter Hart. He's quick, too. Terrific glove. You know, all the athleticism that Brodeur had. It was a little unorthodox style, but it was his athleticism and his mindset. Goaltending's mindset, where you just don't let things get to you at times, whether, like I said, a bad goal or whatever. You got to be that guy. You're kind of like that general in that you are calm, cool, collected. And believe me, it's a domino effect throughout your lineup. And that's what Brodeur really brought to us, besides the consistency and passing ability and handling the puck and everything. And Hart has those kind of traits. I believe it. So it'll be interesting to see, but you got to get your feet wet in the playoffs, and we'll see how it goes for him, and you've got a real good, capable backup and veteran in Elliott. But I'd have a lot of confidence, Hart. I don't care the age. I don't care who you are. If you got it, you got it. We saw that early in Brodeur's career, and I would assume you're going to see that from Carter Hart. He's not going to beat you. He's going to be that guy that's going to win you some hockey games, and you have to have your goaltender steal you a game when maybe you're not at your best. But more importantly, just consistency, because again, Flyers play like a team now, and that's the biggest difference I've seen. I kind of went wow in midseason watching them play against the Devils, and I do the Devils games. I'm going, this ain't the Flyer team I've seen in the past. Good teams in the past, but this is a team. They're more together. They're more structured. They play the game the way you need to play it to go deep in the playoffs. And again, that's a lot to do with Elaine Vigneault and bringing that structure and belief.
Ken, when you face a goalie that gets hot in the playoffs, or is just really good like Marty Brodeur was, but when you're facing a goalie that is just a wall in a playoff series, how much frustration builds up, and how does it change the way you approach playing against that guy?
Yeah, you can get frustrated. Goaltenders can frustrate your team all the time, right? But, again, that's about the emotion. It's about your leadership up top, the coach, your top players have to be even keeled, and you can't get frustrated. You have to find a way. You play the game simple. You change it up. you have to get more traffic in front, whatever, all those cliche terms, but they ring true. And again, it's not, if you start cheating, if you start getting caught because you're pressing too much, now you're giving up 2-on-1s, and before you know it, you're down 3-0. If you're down 1-0 or 2-1, you can't beat a goaltender that's got your number or hot. It's about getting back to simplicity. And again, that's where I love coaches. And we had Jacques Lemaire, very similar. Everybody thought, you know, we're such a defensive structured team because we had good defense and an all-world goaltender. But most of our teams, if you look at every Stanley Cup championship team, we were one of the highest scoring teams in the league. Nobody in the media seems to bring that up because we were so stifling defensively. but it was a counterattack. So my point of that is, and we had Jacques Lemaire. If a team was frustrating us and couldn't score, Lemaire had been there, done that, knew, and Larry Robinson had to bring it back to us where that you don't show that frustration. You know, these guys had won multiple rings in so many capacities with the Montreal Canadiens that it starts to rub off. And I think so far, you know, Vigneault hasn't won a cup yet, but he's been a very successful coach in this league. You know, his message has rubbed off, and these guys will be even killed, even if you do get frustrated and don't score. Because you got to be able to win games 2-1 in the playoffs, 1-0, don't care what era. Or you got to be able to win 6-5, and you'll have success. And that's kind of where I think the Flyers are at right now with a lot of the top teams like Tampa Bay's and Boston's in the East and Washington Capitals.
Ken Danico, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you this morning. You got the NHL Network's extensive playoff coverage, like I said, which includes NHL Tonight, 7 qualifying round games as well, beginning this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time with the Blue Jackets at Maple Leafs. Ken, great talking to you, man. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
My pleasure, guys. Really looking forward to the playoffs. Enjoy it, and tell the Flyers not to let me down. I want to look good here.
You got it.
Farzetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Yes. Let's get to our friend Devon Gibbons joining us right now. What's up, Devon?
Good morning. What's going on, guys?
Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah, Happy New Year,
yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Devon joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Oh, here's another great New Year's. Lieutenant Dan at Forrest Gump. Chris Curl sends us that, so we appreciate it. Devon, the wait will officially be ended tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Sixers back in action. How excited are you?
Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait for them to get back out there on the floor, see a little Joel Embiid in their lineup as well with the other 4 starters. Play against the Indiana Pacers team that is very well coached, a tough squad that now has Victor Oladipo back, but it is also intriguing with Domantas Sabonis still out. So, or at least that's the last time I checked that he was still out. So Sixers should take care of business tomorrow in game number 1. So yeah, I'm thrilled. Looking forward to it.
Where are you at in terms of who you want to see in the first round of the playoffs? Do you want to see Miami? Do you want to see the Pacers? Do you want to see the Celtics? Who do you want to see?
If you look at it, I mean, there are 2 different scenarios. Of course, if you go Miami, Milwaukee, get them out of the way in the second round and then take your chances against Toronto or Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, then you lean that way. But if you prefer to see Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals and go through Milwaukee and Toronto in round 1, the semis, and then meet Milwaukee, then you go that route. Mark, I really don't have a preference at this point because, listen, they've beaten everybody. You're on this neutral floor, go out there and just go hoop and let's see what happens. You're not good enough in either scenario to choose a team. You've lost to the Miami Heat. You've lost to the Toronto Raptors. You've lost to the Boston Celtics, although you took down the 3-1 series. But this is the playoffs. And Brad Stevens has shown to have the edge over Brett Brown in the playoffs. Their 1 series that they matched up in 2017-18. And I think they can beat any of these teams, but that's the whole thing about this team all season long is I think. because 29-2 versus 10-24, right? We don't know who, why they are so different, home and away. So I think they can win in either way, but I mean, they're just not good enough to choose an opponent at this point.
All right, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I look at this, me personally, I'm like, I think it's a second round exit at best, but I'm optimistic enough to think, okay, if this thing happens in particular, this will propel them to be a much better team than I saw at the break. What would you need to see to be convinced that this team can get out of that second round?
The defense has to sustain throughout the entire time, and that will be led by Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And, of course, Matisse Thybulle comes in off the bench, Al Horford as well, Josh Richardson in the starting lineup, and provide some defensive effort that is going to be very strong. This is what they talked about. Smash mouth offense, bully ball defense, and a playoff team that is built the way that they are for this moment. So I think the defense, which we have seen thus far, has to stand out for them to propel them further in the playoffs than we have seen in the past. And the other thing that I would put number two, but I mean, you could probably put it 1A and 1B, is really Simmons and Embiid playing at all NBA and all-star level together in the postseason, which we have not seen that yet in the two playoff appearances that they've had in the past two seasons. So defense, Simmons and Embiid, as it always is for me, but offensively, those guys have to give it like they have during the regular season where we've seen them play well together.
Devon, how would you handle these eight games going into the playoffs? Because I've heard that some people think that Brett Brown might handle it as, you know, just keep guys healthy, build up minutes, look at some things, but then get to the playoffs and go. My feeling is I think you should amp it up now. You haven't had the starting five together. How do you feel they should handle these eight games leading into the playoffs?
I agree with you 100%. You have a few minutes from the first scrimmage, the practice sessions that they've had, and that's it. So you do now need to get those minutes in for the starting five. You do need to develop the rotation. And Brett, in this case, once again, they are not good enough, Bob, to choose an opponent and choose how they want to go in here. This is not a three-seed Sixers team that we've seen the past 2 years. This is a six-seed team that we expected a lot from, and they have disappointed on the road thus far. So I don't think they're good enough to make that decision. I think that for them going into the actual playoffs with this eight seeding games that they have, go in there with some momentum. And hopefully that momentum can carry them through some wins in the postseason like we saw in 2017-18, where they won those, 16 games in the regular season?
Right. And
the first one when they played the Miami Heat in game number one, 17 total. That's what you want to see. You want to have that momentum going into the first round of the playoffs, especially now that you are a 6-seed, and it is a guarantee that you are going to play a very good team in either Miami, Boston, or Indiana. Go out there and play to win. All of that stuff will play itself out, and I cannot stress enough, you're just not good enough to make a decision on how you want to go in there and act as if you're just going to walk on the floor and beat anyone.
Speaking with our own Devon Givens, now I know we'll talk to you throughout the NBA playoffs and the resumption of the eight-game seeding period and all that. But Devon, now before we let you go right here, what is your New Year's sports resolution?
So I'll keep it Eagles-centric on this one.
Ooh.
Because we look at them and we hope the NFL plays in general. But let's assume that they will play and they'll find a way to get it done. I have a thing about Derek Barnett that he annoys me because as a top pick to be the next future edge rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles, and all they've done in this case is go out and get Chris Long and bring back Vinnie Curry and give him the opportunity to really step up and elevate his game and be the man on the edge. And while he did give you 6.5 sacks last year, he does some things that hurries to get to the quarterback. But hurries are great. I get it. Sacks are better. Not getting stupid penalties now where you probably have developed a reputation isn't simply not been good enough, in my opinion. And they do not have enough on the edge outside of he and Brandon Graham for him not to step up and be a very good player for this football team along that defensive front that is now a monster in the middle. And as Barrett Brooks like to say, you can even kick Malik Jackson out to the left side to help out with that rotation. I'm going to try my best with this New Year's resolution to lay off of Derek Barnett, allow him to come out and be the starter, and see what he does, see if he improves on his decision-making and not take these silly late hits. So my new New Year's resolution is to give Derek Barnett more of a chance before I explode later on.
Devon, we appreciate you joining us. Once again, happy new year. Happy 2022.0, my friend.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Happy new year, buddy.
Devon Gibbons joining us right there. Our own Devon Gibbons.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.